story I'm produced good fruit in the sense that Jack is here, but I had a real negative reaction to it. It caught me blindsided, as these things always do. It just seemed to focus so much on Ole, and it's a hard thing to talk about because, I mean, you know, you're the reason we're here. I mean, I love you more than I can say, and had been for you. I committed suicide years ago, but, you know, I guess it just bothered me for some reason. I mean, he said, like, Ole doctrine and Ole's followers, and...
Oh, I hated it.
And it just... And I thought, God, to the casual reader, it's going to be so easy to dismiss, or that was my perception, so easy to dismiss this as a group of invalids who are hung together by the personality of one guy. And Doug called me, I guess the day it came out, or the day before, and said, the day it came out, and said, the next step is to, you know, go to people in your world and tell them about the Dallas Project and consider going to your brother and your parents. And I just, my reaction was, damn, I don't want to. You know, they saw it, they read the paper, and I just don't feel like talking to them if they read that, as I would speculate they read it, and, you know, as a cult, more or less. You know, and he wasn't that strong, but you could see it that way. It raised the Ole question to me once again, which I thought I'd dealt with, you know.
Let's go to Luke 11, chapter 5.
Is there something about
cats?
Oh, the famous cat. Jack.
No, but I
it's probably about anxiety.
No. Luke 11, verse 5. You've heard me say 100 times that you pray constantly. All men pray. You never stop praying. The problem is you're praying to the wrong God. All men tithe. You tithe constantly. You tithe 10% of your increase to your chief God. You do it automatically. There's no such thing as a person or a man that doesn't pray. There's no such thing as a person that doesn't worship. Worship just means what you give importance to. And God demands exclusive worship. Exclusive. But then he has this weird sense of humor. And you come to a point in your life when God says, I'm not gonna have anything more to do with you until you begin to be obnoxious towards me.
What? You want to do that again?
God says to you, I'm not gonna have anything more to do with you until you begin to become obnoxious towards me. Now God, believe it or not, God says 3 or 4 times in the scriptures that he wants you to command him.
Weird.
He doesn't want a bunch of little wimps running around begging.
Toadies.
God doesn't want any toadies.
What does that mean? Oh, God. God.
It means a brown nose.
Funny, it's like Peter Lorre. Oh, God, oh, I'm sorry. Please don't.
If I gave you any thought,
yeah.
I might. Okay. Verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For another friend of mine is hungry, another friend of mine is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, get out of here, trouble me not, the door is shut, my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give it thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So that's a parable, a metaphor, an example. You go wake up this guy that says he's your friend, and he says, get out of here. And you keep knocking. Eventually, what is going to happen? It's either going to break your friendship, or you'll get what you came for. There's a risk, huh? Obnoxious insistence.
Yeah. Persistent.
Yeah, but it has the tone of obnoxiousness.
Yeah.
But you see, the spiritual lesson is that the thing that will happen by importunity is that you'll keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, and either one of two things will happen. You will become so obnoxious that you'll never again see that person, or you'll get what you asked for. Now, the problem is you're cowards in the spirit. You cannot believe that God would want you to be obnoxious. And the reason you don't believe that is because you don't believe he's there and you're afraid to risk finding out. And so therefore, all you can do is eat the crumbs from somebody else's bread in the spirit. You just run around and grab a few crumbs here and there while the guy that you're listening to is eating at the table with the Father at the altar of... And you're running around getting crumbs. And God says, okay, now, it's time for you to push this to the limit.
In other words, quit accepting crumbs and go get...
But push him to the limit. Push God himself to the limit. Push him. Push. Push. Be obnoxious. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He's been asleep since 11. He's got his whole family up there in bed. He's got to get up at 6. He's got to get up in 3 hours.
20 degrees outside.
It's 20 degrees outside. And he doesn't have any heat in his house, so he's got this big blanket on. And it's so cold he has to have the kids in bed with him so that all of them can keep warm under the covers. And you go and you're standing there like a fool, knocking, knocking, knocking at the door. And he says, get out of here. You keep knocking, knocking, knocking. He says, get out of here. And you keep knocking, knocking, knocking. And he says, get out of here. And finally, one of two things will happen. Either he will no longer have anything to do with you, or he'll give you what he asks. The word says, if you keep that up, you will get what you ask for. Now, this is a sense of timing. It's wisdom. It's time for you to do it. What things are bothering you right now? Push it to the limit. That's what we're doing with the Dallas Project. We're turning the heat up to test this thing about whether or not, I mean, we're going to push it and push it and push it. And we have got to trust that God will provide the resources or we'll be eaten alive. God himself must provide the resources to meet your need. He must provide you the spiritual wisdom, the strength, the understanding in all things so that you can meet that woman's need. So that we can have 1,000 more like that take place. So that we can challenge everything on the face of the earth. Importunity, obnoxious insistence. Now, again, that's why, from God's standpoint, when you begin this trek, what the hell happens to you? Jesus said, if you're his disciple, you'll be hated of all men. One of the reasons you'll be hated is because if you have a need, or if you see a brother has a need, you will go to that person and you will keep kicking that door down until that need is met or until that relationship is broken. You understand me? I don't care what it happens to your brother. I don't care what the newspaper article said. I don't care what it'll do to you. You push, you push, you push until that need is met or that relationship is broken. Anything else is pure bullshit and hypocrisy. I don't care if we're considered anathema by every church in Dallas. We're going to push and push and push and push. And what they don't provide, it's their loss. Because God will provide what's needed. And it's their opportunity for blessing to give. That's what it means to turn the heat up. I don't care what your response is to this stupid little newspaper article. It's meaningless. You're not about that article. You're about the living Word of God. Who cares what they say? You think you've got it rough? They've called me everything from Satan incarnate to the Antichrist to the most evil man on the face of the world to the most gifted manipulator on the face of the planet. People are saying now that I've gone public, I've got some kind of scheme where I'm going to take over the world. You can't believe the stories that are going on about me. Who cares? We have one task, and that's to call the poor, the blind, the needy, the naked, the hungry to a feast. Fuck the world! I don't care about your reputations, they're gone. If you're going to care about your reputation, you will leave this place. Unless there's anything but love, unfeigned love of the brethren pouring from that vessel of yours, you will leave this place. I'll be sad. I'll be crucified. But we'll continue. And if there's a need in this body, we go first to those at hand. We look first, can we meet the need with our own hands here? If I can't meet it in my own hands, I look to the body. If the body can't meet it in its hands, it looks to those people around. Now we have a need. We've got people coming from out of the woodwork to test your hypocrisy, to test your selfishness. I'm here to tell you, my friends, when Jack walked into the office, he was the greatest blessing he could ever be to me before, because when he walked in and I saw him, I saw Jesus Christ. And it crushed me. There's not a problem, there's not a situation that can stand in the face of Jesus Christ. Everything else is an illusion. We've given him a few things, that's nothing. He's a far greater blessing to me than I ever could ever be to him. Importunity, obnoxious importunity, obnoxious insistence. What's the chaff to the wheat? It's going to push you. It's going to push all your little buttons.
That's for sure.
Until there are no buttons left save the faith of Jesus Christ in you. Until you can say with every breath, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You've been going too long with faith in. Now it's time to have the faith of. And that's reflected only in your abandonment. That's reflected when your idolatry is smashed. Your reputation is ruined. You don't want to know what your heritage is on this earth? Let me read it to you. Because you're being trained as apostles. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last. And you've got it. You see, you can continue this little reigning as a king in your own little world, the smugness of knowing some of the natures and the mysteries of God. You can take little pieces of this gem of the mystery of God and wear them around you and be alluring. So that you can, others of you use it as a weapon. You take little pieces of the mystery so you can jab somebody to prove how good you are. No. No little pieces of it. It's all of it. Up till now, you could reign as a king. You could just continue on in your self-seeking ways. Now go to 1 Corinthians 4. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. We are made a spectacle. That means like a sideshow carnival. We are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Do you think I like being despised? Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth. The word there, filth. You know what the word filth means? The shit of the world. And are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beg of you, be ye followers of me, and be followers of the position that says that you're the offscouring of all things. Well, I don't think I can do that. Well, it's not your business when it happens. As much as within you, you try to be at peace with all men all the time. But there are certain horizons that you cannot permit to be crossed in your presence. And when those horizons are revealed, then is when you are the fool. Then you're the despised. Then you're the offscoring. And slowly but surely, God is bringing you to that point. He's bringing you to that horizon. He's not going to put anything on you more than you can bear. Until your intimacy with the living God is so far more important than anything of reputation, or anything of goods, or material possessions, or intellectual possessions, or any other kind of possessions, that you can say with everything in you, that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whatever things are gained to you are lost to Christ. Now that's the pathway that's set before us. That's the road that we're on. It's a stupid road. Nobody in his right mind would get on that road. Except one who sees. One who sees through the vanity of all things. The next verse in what we studied in Luke was ask. And it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. It's in a tense in the Greek that says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, in the insistence of that obnoxious, importune friend at midnight, who would push it to the limit, that says unless this is resolved, one of two things will happen. Either you'll give me the bread or you're no longer my friend. And that relationship between you and the Father, it'll be revealed so that you'd no longer live in this maybe. You're the ones that are suffering if the maybe is the part of your component. That's the gray, the twilight. Have you ever looked at America? It should be the flag of America should be gray. Everything in America is gray. It's a nation built on usury. It's a nation built on yes, but. It's a nation that has made the ego their God.
It's a nation made of egotistical capitalism.
But the charter says it's a nation under God. Now, let's find out if it really is. Push, 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 push in your world till there are no more false relationships. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. For what is the chaff to the wheat? Now it's time that you occupy or inherit your inheritance. Amen? But can you see how less than important are your reputations?
What reputations?
Can you see how less? You got to know by now you've been hoodwinked. You got all kinds of these little plans, little ambitions. None of them are going to come true. If they do come true, they're not going to bring you a goddamn thing. If anything that you can think about is going to come true, you've made your desires too small.
What reputation? I lost that years ago.
So did I.
And what I didn't lose of it has gotten worse steadily. I don't even remember what it is now. So, what's to lose?
Nothing. For me to live is Christ.
I go along with that too. 100%.
Anything else? Short. Take it, big guy.